wildlife, we're predators. They're afraid of us. So if you can catch it, touch it, hold it, it is not doing well. And the biggest mistake people make is petting these animals, thinking that it is comforting to them. And it's actually the most stressful thing that you can do to an animal that's injured is be looking at it and petting it. So if I could get anything out there to anybody, just know that if you do find something, put it in a dark box, cover it with a blanket, you know, keep it quiet and, you know, until you can get it to a wildlife rehabilitator. Wildlife rehabilitation isn't something that most people get paid for. It's a difficult job to get because there are so few wildlife rehabilitators. And I stumbled across Sweetbriar Nature Center. I had just finished, believe it or not, treatments for cancer. And I was 36 years old. And I had given up my career. And I was kind of floundering, trying to figure out what to do with my life. And this gentleman, Eric Young, who had just been working there for a year, started talking to me. And as soon as he found out that I suppose I wasn't working, he's like, you know, how would you like to come here and help me out, you know, maybe doing camp with me? And then he said, would you like to volunteer? Would you like to be paid? And I said, is that really a question?
Sweetbriar is located just off the Nissaquag River on 54 acres of land filled with wildlife. All the animals here at Sweetbriar Nature Center are rescues. Thousands of animals come through here every year and are rehabilitated and released, which is the ultimate goal. But sometimes they can't safely be sent back out on their own. So they live out their days here, giving you the opportunity to meet them and learn about our local wildlife.
It's really important to have a hands-on approach when you teach children about animals and nature. And here at Sweetbriar, we definitely do that.
Teaching children is a wonderful way to shape young minds, especially when you can use live animals. It catches their attention. It's very easy. Instead of sitting in the classroom and, you know, writing stuff on the board, it's a lot more interesting for them to listen to.
I like Sweetbriar because I like animals and I learn a lot of interesting things here. Sweetbriar, which they don't have at school, and there's a bit more activities at Sweetbriar.
Sweetbriar was naturally appealing to our family because the educational programs here do so much to connect children with nature in a way that I think they don't experience naturally.
We live in an age where everything's digital. It's either on a computer screen, computer generated. This is a special place in this area where it's really hands-on and you're actually touching the real animals.
We hope to, you know, spark an interest in children. They're going to be stewards of our future, of our planet, and we want them to appreciate the natural world and the animals that live within in it. And they come here and they learn about nature and they see nature at its finest.
So hey everyone, you are listening to Create Your Year Starting Podcast. I am Ajay Tambe, the host and producer of the show. Today, this is kind of a different interview. The reason for this interview is Brimstone. A couple of days back, I interviewed him and we had a great chat. And then I asked him like, hey, what's the one thing that you would put your voice for? This thing needs to be put on the pedestal and everyone should know about this and take care of this. He said animals. And by animals, I said, do you support any organization? Do you know anything? What was the thing? How you go ahead with it? So then he told me about Sweetbriar Nature Center. He said he does a lot of work as helping them and a lot of things that he talked about. And also share the tip and you can go and check out the interview. But he said that this is the one center that I, you know, my daughter helps, I help, I volunteer there. And I came to know. Then as a part of the show, I posted a clip. That's where I connected with Janine. And she's a director there. And that's how I thought, hey, I can do something for you. I can help you out with this. Because now I have a platform where I can use it to raise awareness. And that's the reason I'm having it. And I messaged you, Janine, like 2 months back and you didn't reply to me. Then yesterday, I guess 3-4 days back, I did it again. And that's where you said, oh, I forgot.
Very busy at work.
yep, I can see that. And the whole reason is to provide it to the global audience because this is going to be a Spotify video interview. So this is, this has a global reach, and mostly from United States and India and a lot of other countries. So with this, we can raise awareness for fundraising and all the things will be linked, so people can join. We love animals. This is going to be the best podcast. So before we start, let's welcome Janine. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me and putting Sweetbriar out there in the world.
Yeah. I'm really happy, and I'm really happy that this happened. And we had a little bit internet connection problem there. We're connecting a couple of minutes.
But I am talking to Indian right now, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And Wildlife Related Rehabilitation Center.
We're 54 acres, and we've been there for over 50 years. And there are just 4 staff members and over 100 volunteers that come in every week and help us out with the over 100 permanent animals that we have there that are injured and non-releasable. And then we have folks that come in every single day to help out in the wildlife rehabilitation portion of the Nature Center, enabling us to, you know, put them back out there in the natural world.
And this is not government funded. So everything comes out from people's hearts.
Exactly.
Hard-earned money, and they spend their time and their money because they love animals. And that's the reason I also love animals, and I'm doing this just for the same cause, but my way of doing it is very different.
Thank you.
And the other thing, now you spent 20 years in this as a professional.
Yes.
Spending 20 years is not a joke. To dedicate your life, that means you have more than 15 years back into this game. So I'd like to know, how were you as a kid? How was your childhood? Going back to your childhood and your relation with animals.
Right.
How it got started?
Well, you know how, a baby's born and they grow up and you say, oh, this one's playing with Legos. He's going to be, you know, a builder or an architect. I was that child who loved animals. My parents, unfortunately, were not fans. So I was one of those kids who used to look for wildlife and try to make habitats for them, try to find injured wildlife. I would follow cats around thinking that they were going to catch a mouse and I could maybe have the mouse as a pet.
And
I did have my mom's friends. Everybody knew that I loved animals. And there was a situation where one of my mother's friends killed a cat. No, a cat killed a rabbit, and there were babies. So this was my moment to shine, to take these baby rabbits and rehabilitate them and release them. And I was successful. So, you know, if you ask my parents or any of my friends, they would say, I'm where I belong right now, if they knew me as a child.
It's like a hero, what we can say, who stood up for the cause.
Yeah.
And, that was burning desire inside you. Like, I'm going to do something for this little rabbits.
Right.
And this, there's something that's not true. This is not acceptable for you at that point.
Right. There was just something. Yeah. And I even remember in college stopping Main Street. The traffic, because there was a little mouse trying to jump up on the curb. And so I got out of my car, stopped traffic, helped the little mouse up. He went scurrying off. And, you know, and that is funny because my ex-husband says to me, I didn't remember you being so into animals. And I said, do you remember that mouse on Main Street? And he went, oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Wow. This is just like a screenplay of movie, I can imagine. This is just like, I can see you stopping on this truck.
Right.
I can see that mind. And then I can see you stopping. It's like visual. Wow. You got good stories. And I guess this is the start for you. Like, you know, it never went away from the love for animals.
You know, it's interesting. When I work with children, that is the first thing I say to them. I'm like, do what you love as an adult. And then you will never work a day in your life, you know, which I know is, something other people say, but I believe in that.
Yeah, you can only say that if you believe in that.
Yes.
Because you can feel it and you can see it happening for you at the same time. That's why you think that's very true for you also. And you are now passing on that same thought to other kids at the same time.
Exactly.
Great. Now, here's the thing. Now you talked about the college. Now you talked about shopping in the middle of the street and helping that. So what was that that made you know, I'm going to dedicate my life. This is what I'm really passionate about, but I'm also serious about, you know, putting my whole life to this field, in this wildlife, or something related to animal, and that's going to be my life.
Well, you know, everybody has a story, and I have a story as well, where wildlife rehabilitation isn't something that most people get paid for. It's a difficult job to get because there are so few wildlife rehabilitators. And I stumbled across Sweetbriar Nature Center. I had just finished, believe it or not, treatments for cancer. And I was 36 years old and I had given up my career. And I was kind of floundering trying to figure out what to do with my life.
So please help us out with what were you doing till that?
I had my own business. I manufactured children's clothing and I did logos. I did, you know, all kinds of art related projects. And so I was searching for something. Okay. Yeah. And really, I don't know if I was searching. It kind of just stumbled onto it, I would say. And this gentleman, Eric Young, who had just been working there for a year, started talking to me. And as soon as he found out that I suppose I wasn't working, he's like, you know, how would you like to come here and help me out, you know, maybe doing camp with me? And then he said, would you like to volunteer? Would you like to be paid? And I said, is that really a question? At the time, I didn't realize that volunteerism was a thing, you know?
Yeah. Just being around animals is your thing. That's you.
Well, yeah, it was me as a child for sure. And then coming here to this nature center and it you know, new directors had just taken over. The place was kind of, you know, not beautiful. It needed help. And the new directors there had a vision. They found out that I was an artist. And my first job there, I was hired as curator. To do the displays and designs. And
what year are we talking about?
We're talking, now 22 years ago. Yeah.
22 years ago?
Yeah.
And we're talking about Sweetbriar.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, 2001.
Yeah. Crazy. Time goes by. And then they had a small wildlife rehabilitation part of the nature center that was being funded by the education, the education programs, you know, field trips for kids and fundraisers. And I kind of stuck my nose in the room. And that was the beginning for me. I was like, oh, my gosh, this job does exist, you know.
And it's like someone hoping to.
Yeah, it was like a dream. And 2 years later, I started running the wildlife rehabilitation portion of the Nature Center. So
they were looking for you. You were looking for them.
And they didn't know.
That's a perfect match. And that back in 2001, I guess, was
early
stage of internet where only people can tell you about what's happening. And
exactly.
No internet existed like a major portion. It was just the start.
Exactly.
So that's where special thanks to the guy who told you about it.
Yes.
And then it was in the better hands. Like, I was in better hands. Like,
yeah.
20 plus years, putting out, I guess, 23, 24, maybe, front and back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good story. That's a good story. That's really inspiring. And that's someone that will help someone who's looking to do something. And, you know, someday that pure love will exist in a few years.
Right. Yeah. And, you can always say the secret in life is, you know, wanting something so bad and just not giving up, you know. When I saw the wildlife rehab portion of the Nature Center, I knew that's where I belonged. And and then it became, you know.
It looks like, you know, you being a kid and in college days, that's the one thing that was incomplete in your life, what you can say.
Yeah.
I was looking, but that was not like full thing because I can't imagine, for example, a kid going to sleep and then imagine, hey, how that pet is going to be. And hey, is it going to be okay? Is it going to be okay? And that doesn't make you sleep in the night.
Right.
So no matter how many years you spend, but there was always that incomplete part inside you that that something is incomplete. I need to be there, you know, take care of those things, those animals.
And
this is where,
And I do believe it saved my life.
I can get it because this is one thing. If you love that thing, whatever you love in life, if you get that, then there's going to be a difficult time in your life. But once you have this, you have something to follow. And there may be some down periods in your time. And this is the thing that I guess saved you. So you stick with this.
Yeah.
I guess, and I can see it in your eyes. There were very hard times. But this is the one thing that stayed with you and stuck with you. So, you know, there was a pretty good cushion that you had in Sweet Briar. So now we jump on to, you know, 2001, going back in 2001 to now in 2023. So the journey, can you share the journey of how it looked back in 2001 to now in 2023, becoming a vital resource of wildlife rehabilitation and educational development?
Sure. So we have grown leaps and bounds. All the staff that is at Sweetbriar, most of it has been there almost as long as I have or have just left. And it's like a match for everybody, and it's like a family for everybody. So we have created this sanctuary that the public can now come to, and they can see up close and personal over 30 animals that are not, you know, not releasable, that are there for a particular reason, you know, like a fox who has seizures and needs medication twice a day wouldn't have survived if he was put out there into the natural world. But kids can go, oh my gosh, a fox, you know, or an eagle that broke his wing and obviously would have not survived being flightless. And they can get to see an eagle up close and personal and get an appreciation for the natural world. And not only do we have animals there, but we have a discovery area, which is, you know, we don't like to call it a playground, but it's a natural area that kids can discover and play stages and instruments and little hideouts and sandboxes and, you know. And then we even have a trail that's dedicated to the visionary impaired, and you can walk using a string, and it's highlighted in Braille, and it tells you the stories of life cycles in the forest. So we kind of try to make Sweetbriar a place for everybody, whether they are disabled or just, you know, want to get out there and see the natural world at its finest. We, you know, we're set on a river. A beautiful Nessequag River. And so we really have it all over there.
And that too in New York City, you know, in that New York area.
So it's probably, right. It's on Long Island. So it's, you know, an hour's train ride from New York City. Yeah. Or, you know, if there's no traffic, a 40-minute drive. it's a great place.
I was talking about the river.
The river, the Nessequag River.
Yeah, okay. I was from last morning. I was trying to remember the name.
The name. So and
I can't even remember. I can't even spell it out properly. Yeah, that's what that was stuck. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, you know, Long Island is filled with Native American names, Nessequag means river of mud. Actually, if you were to. I'll break it down into
Now tell me about your job. I guess you do tours, right? Conservation tours.
We do environmental education, field trips for kids. We do fundraisers.
That field trips that you particularly do, right, at this moment.
So what I do at this moment is just the wildlife rehab portion, and also I do the social media. I try to, you know, get people to learn about exactly what we do there. I try to mostly post good stories and educational stories so that people will have an understanding of what is out there in the natural world, that they won't be afraid of things if they happen to find it. I'm hoping to foster a sense of it's okay if it's in your backyard. It was there before you, and we can live side by side with whatever it is, being a turtle or a bat or a bird or an opossum. So we do it all. We have licenses, so we can do raptors, we can do small animals, large animals, songbirds, you know, reptiles, and we hope to that everything that comes in is rehabilitated and released. Unfortunately, that isn't always the case. If you're to find wildlife in your backyard that's injured and allows you to pick it up, chances are it's at death's door. Wildlife, we're predators. They're afraid of us. So if you can catch it, touch it, hold it, it is not doing well. And the biggest mistake people make is petting these animals, thinking that it is comforting to them. And it's actually the most stressful thing that you can do to an animal that's injured is be looking at it and petting it. So if I could get anything out there to anybody, just know that if you do find something, put it in a dark box, cover it with a blanket, you know, keep it quiet and, you know, until you can get it to a wildlife rehabilitator. We're successful with about 50% of what comes in, which is a very good number for a rehabilitation center. Yeah. 30% is the average, but we do a lot of babies. So I think that's what, you know, keeps our numbers.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we jump on to some experiences, some moments. You know, what are some eye-opening moments that participants have shared with you during your conservation tours? And how do these moments contribute to conservation awareness?
So another thing that I do is I take children and teachers and adults to Central and South America to do conservation projects over there. And I was, you know, thinking to myself, what is the most, you know, exciting moment for me? And of course, you know, seeing people's faces, you know, hearing them talk, oh my God, I don't even have makeup on or anything. And I feel so good. And I feel so happy. And, you know, and and then I remember, yeah, meeting a psychiatrist, and she was like, gosh, she says, if my patients could come to the rainforest, you know, they wouldn't need me anymore. But my favorite story is that when I took these seniors from high school, it was actually my daughter and a whole bunch of students from her school. And we went to a wildlife rehabilitation center and we stayed in the forest. And, you know, it was great. We came home and then I heard her on her cell phone in the morning talking to her friends. And I went in the room and I listened, and she was talking to her best friend about, yes, there's a chorus of birds here in New York too. Can you believe it? And they had never heard that at sunrise, you know, the birds around here singing. And of course you go to the rainforest and it's like, you know, it's you're very aware of it. It's very loud, but to give them that sense of, oh my gosh, you know, it's here too, just, you know, made my heart fill with joy.
that experience, that whole thing is nature.
Yes.
Is here with us in New York.
Yes.
New York City. Yeah.
Yes.
So this is really going to be the most shared clip that you shared. This is going to be on your website also. This is really good. This is really good. You got really good stories. And this is really special because somewhere, you know, a physiotherapist or somewhere you do a psychiatrist now. This is really different moment. People actually, the point of view, the perspective of life completely changes when they visit and they go through a different experience where they, what the hell I was thinking before this? This is what? This is life, and they can come to know about who, what life actually is, and it exists, and it is around us.
Exactly.
And that's a really, really great moment that that you shared. Now here's the thing. As this thing, Sweet Brand Nature Center, is not funded by government. There's no funds coming from government. Everything, every single penny comes from people who are working hard, going out every single day to do their jobs, and that's where the hard money comes from. And to maintain these from last 2025, and more than that, you know, what are the challenges you face in ensuring the sustainability and success of Sweet Brand Nature Center?
Well, it's exactly what you said. When people come there with an animal, they automatically assume that we have to be funded by the state, because who would, you know, do something like this for nothing, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, I try to make big posters saying how much it costs and, you know, saying, you know, that we're not for profit and whatnot. But, you know, I even tried on our admittance form, you know, would you like to make a tax deductible donation? And you could circle it yes or no. And most people don't circle it. They figure if they don't circle either yes or no, you know, they can get away with just not, you know, giving us a dollar or something like that. And so we rely on the public and we couldn't be there. And I will say social media has helped us out because it's given us, you know, and the internet in general, given us a good amount of, you know, publicity. And I do believe that after going through the pandemic and whatnot, it did bring people out into the natural world more because they had nowhere else to go. And so more people have discovered us and they just need to know we're only there because of donations.
You exist.
Yeah, we exist because of people and them helping us out. So yeah, I mean, we do apply for grants. And we do get grants as well, but it's time consuming and difficult. And there's a lot of other people applying for grants as well. So if everybody that came in and brought us an animal, you know, gave us a dollar, you know, we could cover our costs probably for wildlife rehab for the year. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. So
this is my effort to, you know, also to help provide more awareness as much as I can again. From my side, to post it out, and where people can just go and check the description, your social media handles, and just go and check it out. So they can, you know, just go and donate whatever they have now. People can donate from all around the world, wherever they are listening to this podcast, to go and do that. They check that out in the description, and you can start it from that, right from $1. That's right. The basic thing that you can do. Now, here's the thing. Juggling. Is there a particular animal or species that you've worked with that has left a lasting impression on shaping your commitment to wildlife conservation? I mean, like, you talked about bat mice. You talked about bat rats. What are you talking about now in sweet rat?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Deer, okay, are a fairly new thing that have come into our area. They've expanded, white-tailed deer, and they're everywhere. So, about 7 years ago, we received our first fawn. And, you know, we, of course, had no idea what we were doing. Not that we had no idea, but we had counseling as to what to do. And we figured it out and we released it. And this particular deer, there was a whole bunch, decided to stay at Sweetbriar. And she's had babies every year, but she has made Sweetbriar her home. And she's almost like a mascot for Sweetbriar now. And so deer for me, you know, hold a special place in my heart because, you know, it was a new thing that I sort of figured out how to rehabilitate. And and we have this deer that comes around all the time. And, you know, it's just this magical.
It's still there.
It's still there. Yeah.
Everybody. How many years they got?
They live, you know, maybe 10 years, 8, 10 years. So they don't, you know, usually they don't even live that long. They get hit by cars or whatnot. But she's stuck around and she's had babies every year, two babies. Yeah. So she has populated the area a little bit. But her babies are not friendly. Her family is not friendly. She is the only one that, you know, trusts us. So
I guess it will establish with time if they could come here. For the moment, you got busy completely. You got busy schedule. Wildlife, the Sweetbriar Nature Center, you do conservation tours. Now you're busy in some artistic works related to social media. You do all of these things. You attend how many hours a day you invest in all this work?
It's like a full-time job plus a full-time job. So... you're just doing this job 24/7. I'm getting phone calls at home about animals that are stuck in fences at night, 2 a.m. You know, I'll get a call about a coyote you know, can you take a coyote? It was just hit by a car. Or I had a call about a lynx. We captured a lynx. Can, you know, we house them at your house? And so people come to my house. I work with certain people that that have my number, know my house, and come here with animals. And then, yeah, so it's literally you eat, breathe, and live this job. Yeah. So this is why I'm sorry I didn't maybe get in touch with you that quickly. Maybe the coyote.
Yeah, I get. I mean, I am grateful today to have you here because this is how I can, you know, something where I feel I can do. But this is where it comes to truth, you know. Then this is where I feel like, okay, I got a chance because this is where I can use it at my maximum potential to put this message out. Just by saying somewhere or just posting hearts will never come. Rather than if I use at my best potential, and today you're making it happen for me. So thank you for your 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever I have. I was looking for how where that went. Like, how's the work-life balance for you now? Now you told me like late in the night you get calls. So you transfer them to some other people who will take care of you, or you go there. How do you maintain this work-life cycle?
It's difficult. But, you know, if, you know, I have a little, you know, clinic set up at my house with a couple of types of medication, you know, like fluids and whatnot. and then of course I bring them the next morning with me to work. The other thing people don't realize, or maybe they do, is when you have baby animals, they eat from dawn to dusk. A bird will eat a baby bird every 15 minutes. So those animals will come home with me at 5 or 6 o'clock when I leave, and they're being fed till 8 or 9 o'clock, not through the night. But, you know, so you are in the summer, you know, just inundated with baby animals, bringing them home, doing that. Luckily, we have interns and volunteers who help big time with that, because I think I would have a breakdown.
You getting the call?
Okay. And then at this time of year, this is our slow time of year, right now, December, January. So now we're mostly getting in, like we just got in a couple of owls that folks had hit with their vehicles, and they were stuck in their grill or their engine, and we had to have them removed, and we're rehabilitating them now. So, you know, this is a time for adult animals to come in, and it's not as busy, but now we focus on, you know, how we can bring more money in, you know, work on our fundraisers. And we work on, you know, putting that together. So,
you raise funds, and there will be time where you are on the field work. I guess this is off the work where you are.
Right.
Just marketing and raising fund awareness eventually.
Exactly.
Got it. You're completely busy in the whole schedule of from the day start. You carry medicines in your bag or purse? Because I don't know, you get a call like you're traveling or having breakfast. Hey, I got what's the thing with your purse now? You got medicines?
I don't have anything in my purse, no. But I do have some things in my home. I do have limitations. I will send people to the center if I'm not working on my day off. Yeah. And I do have people there, wonderful people who are covering, you know, the rehab portion of it, who can handle.
So you got no holidays, like you can't take that.
We work every day. Yeah. I just worked on Thanksgiving myself. And our volunteers came in on Thanksgiving, you know, as well. So a big shout out to those people who are coming in for nothing, just to give back to the animals and to the cause, you know.
You know what? After listening to you, I'm going to make an audio drama on Janine Bendixson, that whole story, just to raise awareness. The other part will be my solo production. I'm going to make a story on you being the center character and the whole situation that you told me. I'm just going to focus my time out, but I'm going to produce it, and I'm going to produce the whole efforts, how you guys are working out 24/7. I guess I'm going to produce that story, I guess 5-10 minutes, but the whole production of owl getting hit by a car to you getting a call in the night and the whole thing, I'm going to make it. And once I get things done, I'll surely be telling you that,
Okay.
I'm going to surely make it. That's the one thing I can, because I can imagine what you will see. I can see that in front of my eyes. And this is something that's going to stick with me like the mice stick with you. That's the one thing I can do whenever I get time.
Okay.
I have a Christmas schedule now. Christmas schedule, the big series coming up. But yeah, I'm going to do it whenever I get time.
Okay.
So yeah, what are the ways, now we focus on the particular promotion part of this interview. What are the ways where people can donate their money if they come to know by you from online in the United States, from animal lovers all across YouTube or anywhere on Spotify? What are the ways they can donate?
So obviously the best way is by donating money. We have all kinds, you know, we have PayPal, Venmo, you know, Squarespace, all different ways people can donate money. Sometimes people would rather donate something other than money. And that something isn't, you know, always glamorous. For instance, you know, we need things like mealworms, you know, live mealworms, which, you know, are bugs. But they're what everything eats there. All our birds eat it. And that's something that is costly and we could use. Things like mice, dead mice, frozen mice, you know, are things that
how
can
do
be.
How manage these things? And how, what's the resource?
We buy them. We have to buy. Well, yeah, you know, the I think one of the biggest expenses is just the food for the animals. A mouse, you know, can cost a dollar. So if you have, you know, we just released 12 crows that we had for 9 months that were electrocuted. If they each had a mouse a day, 12 times, you know, think of the expense on just those animals alone, you know, that certainly is huge for us, is the budget for feeding the animals. And then, you know, medicines are expensive. Yeah. Veterinary bills. We do have lots of veterinarians who do pro bono work. We didn't used to. So that's a huge help for us. But there's a lot to it.
There's a lot to it, I guess. And like anyone who's listening now, if you think of $1, you're just fine. Like there's a thing that we call it Patreon, where, hey, buy me coffee. There's now crows saying, hey, buy me mice at $1. It's that, buy me dead mice at $1.
It's not very glamorous.
It's that boost we can imagine. But if you donate $1, $2, $5, $6, $10, if it is possible, according to you, you're buying them food, you know? Even if you don't even think of contributing, but think of, hey, what if I buy food for food for XYZ animal? You can just donate them and, you know, add a label as, hey, I bought a food for.
Right.
It will help, you know, just that $1 is going to help them buy a XYZ animal, a dead animal, by the way. But it is going to help them. And yeah, it's like you just bought a coffee for an animal. It's the same way you bought a food for an animal. And you can donate it. And every dollar counts. Every dollar counts, as I came to know. Like, it is used to buy food. It's used to buy, because it's organized thing. It's not something like, hey, they got it covered. No, it's not. They have to cover it from somewhere else because it's not available every single day. So if you think of donating, then you're doing a very good thing. You're buying them food for one day, you donate $20, you're buying them a feast for Sunday. So as much as you can, it's for the good cause. And if you're doing it, thank you for it.
Yes.
Now here we focus on your website. As I open your website, I came across some events that you had. And I'd like you to explain it properly. Via our show, what are those? Because people are going to listen to it and people are going to get more awareness on this topic if they haven't heard of this. So when we open your website, which is Fitbriar Nature Center, there's an option on the bar, which is Children Discovery Week. So can you tell us more on it?
So Children's Discovery Weeks are weeks that the children don't have school. So they can come to Sweetbriar. And, you know, if you have working parents or if you want your children to just get a feeling for the natural world, and if they love animals, it would be a great place to send your children for the week. So in the summer, we do it for the entire summer as well. But our discovery weeks are crucial. if you have an animal-loving child, or if you can't get out there into the natural world as much as you'd like, this is a great program for your kids.
This is a great program in summer and holidays, you know. Yeah. This is the best thing to do at this moment.
And it's interesting because I will take a group of kids out there into the forest and I'll ask the question, how many of you have ever walked in a forest before? And it's lucky if I get one or two hands that are raised. So it's something free that, you know, that you can do with your kids and give them, you know, that sense of the natural world. So
this is the one thing that, and I'm going to share the link below, separate links where, you know, families and parents can apply for the kids and they can bring their kids and have a great experience this summer. Now there's another thing, which is annual appeal. I saw it in your website. So annual appeal.
What is it?
What is it? Annual appeal. Annual appeal.
Our annual appeal.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Is your microphone is covering your mouth. So.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, great. It's just because I want to be very close because the voice doesn't, go.
Yeah.
Back and forth. That's sure. Right. So the reason is for the whole thing we are doing is to get out your voice from Sweetbriar to raise awareness. Now you go ahead and talk on annual appeal. What's it?
So our annual appeal is something we put out around the holidays, and we mail it out to our members and people
who've left it.
Yeah, volunteers and whatnot. And it's a fundraiser. It is a way that you can help us at Sweetbriar by sending in money. So it usually consists of stories that we've, really had great accomplishments during the year. We'll add those in there. And it'll give you an idea of all the wonderful work that we do there at Sweetbriar. And if you have a little extra cash and would like to send it our way, we'd be more than happy to have it.
Now that's where we got it covered. And will be, the link will be mentioned, so you can just go.
Yes.
It, and then you can donate it. Okay.
Yes, so definitely.
Now here's other part. The Stephen Goldman Wildlife Rehabilitation Clinic at Sweetbriar.
Yes.
Just get more awareness of what this clinic is.
So that is what I'm director of. So Stephen Goldman, his wife, and children were big supporters of Sweetbriar. Their children went to the discovery days there. They're very interested in animals. Unfortunately, he passed. And so his wife gave us a donation, and we basically renovated our rehabilitation center because of that. And so we have more state-of-the-art equipment in there, very large incubators, oxygen, machines, and whatnot, so we can service more animals and do a better job.
Okay, so, it's upgraded with the donation.
Yes.
For the donation. Yes. And it surely did, because I heard that people from outside directly contact the clinic. Is that a thing? I read that on website. Can you put more voice on that?
Can contact, you see, so that is something that people also don't realize is how many phone calls we get a day, about wildlife that people find in their backyards. The majority of them don't need help. So we are constantly talking to the public and answering questions on the do's and don'ts of wildlife. You know, if they find a baby bird, they think, oh my gosh, I found a baby bird. It's by itself, so it has to need help. Whereas that's a natural progression for baby birds. If it's feathered, if it's hopping, it's fledged. So it's on the ground. Its parents are feeding them on the ground. It's just a dangerous time for the bird. In another day or two, it'll be flying. But just put it in the bush, you know, take it out of harm's way. They don't understand predators at that point. So a lot of it is just fielding misinformation that people have out there. You know, they have a turtle in their backyard. They're like, my backyard's fully fenced in. I've never seen a turtle here since I've lived here 20 years, you know, but turtles climb fences. Turtles go under fences. Turtles are camouflaged. So turtles belong in our backyards. Not everything is a pet. And then the wonderful thing that did come about was cell phones and photographs. so people can now send us pictures of the animals so we have a better idea.
What's the contact number? Just provide me the contact number. I can put it out here.
Sure. 631-979-6344.
Okay, great. I'm also going to post it afterwards in the edit so they can have it properly and also in the description. So
sure.
Whenever you guys who's listening, they can use this number. Okay, great. I guess I'll just visit the website. But we covered major part of this interview as much as I want to. There's a programs now. Now, here's the thing I'm talking about. I'm now on your website. I'm talking about programs where it talks about virtual programs, school programs, library programs, study programs, scout programs. Then Zoom meeting animals, birthday parties, animal encounter and wildlife experiences, request a program, program meetings, program and party deposits. Can you share overall light on this thing so people can be more aware why?
Sure. So these are all ways that we fund ourselves. These are all things that you can do if you live in the area or maybe even not, maybe some of them, so that you can help support an organization like ours. So you can have an owl encounter where you would come in and actually get to hold an owl and learn about an owl. I mean, how often do you get to do that? You can do a behind-the-scenes tour where you get the history of the house and actually a tour of the wildlife rehab portion of the nature center and get to meet animals. The Discovery Days we touched on, that was the for children.
Is that the thing? 2 year to 4 year first steps into nature, that upcoming year.
So we also have a new program where it's for younger children. Before they're in school, preschoolers. That is, I believe, the program you're talking about there. And so that is a hands-on kind of fun workshop for little ones and their parents, and they can come
That's one thing.
And then the other programs you're talking about are different school programs that children can come in with their teachers. We do Girl Scout programs, Boy Scout programs. We do it all. We do library programs. Anything to connect people to the natural world and also help us support the animals that
Parties are where you can get a good amount of funds. People can have party, birthday parties.
Sure.
Students go where school can approach.
Yes.
Like classrooms can have visits over there. And that's where they can book via payments and all. And that's where they can, wild the fun, enjoy the nature, and have a good amount of memories when they leave. That's the one thing. Yep. Also, for the kids who are just born, 2 years, 4 years, and going out to school, the parents are going to have a lovely time there. There's one event that's coming out on 8th of December 2023, when we are recording. 8th of December 2023, it's happening. And you can go and have a blast there. It's for your 2-year-old and 2 to 4-year-old. That's the thing.
Yep.
Now just focus on your holiday party. For wildlife on 10th of December.
So that's something we do once a year. And basically people can bring gifts for animals that are there. And so we have a wish list. And so, things like dog beds and wee-wee pads and dog food, dry dog food, dry cat food. Those are things that we go through a lot of. And, if people want to come and donate a gift to our animals and then and get to learn their stories. They'll get to meet those animals and and learn all about them.
It's for people of New York, for people who are going to visit, it's all about having a memorable time. It's all about experiences. Once you visit and once you come back and once you leave the place, it's all going to be memorable. You are not going to forget. It's that kind of experience. It's going to be in your memories when you're 14, 50, that's a proper visit finish, and that too in New York City. So this is like for any age group, this is a must visit place that you should visit. And
and what's interesting is a lot of what we do there is a service to the public, because when they find an injured animal, a veterinarian, chances are, is not going to want to care for that animal because they can't charge for it or they don't know how to care for it. So these people find these animals and it's crazy how they form a bond with them immediately. And I can't tell you how many animals I take from somebody's hand that is hysterical crying you know, saying, can you help it? Are you going to be able to care for it? Can I call? Can I, you know, and then what we do is we take that animal, we rehabilitate it, and we actually call the people back and they release it back to where they found it. Two reasons. You're supposed to always bring wildlife back to where you found it if it's an adult, as far as disease spread and all that. But for the person who brought it in, you know, how nice is it for them to feel like, gosh, I made a difference. And, you know, and you can't appreciate that in which you don't love, you know, so yeah. We're giving them that connection.
Transformation of saving a life.
Yep.
Did a great job. And this is great of you guys also, you know, once they submit, kind of get their contact numbers, you know, because it's very hard in that particular moment to get that baby. It's not a good position to carry that particular animal because it's either hurt, crying, or in very bad situation.
Right.
So all you guys is looking for that particular animal. But that's where you focus on having the guy who contacted you, contact them back, and complete that whole cycle.
And we do the best we can with what we have.
The sources that you have and whatever you can do.
Right.
As a part, and play your part, like 120% best, and make sure that it is helped. That's why you have 50% rate of the trophy and helping things up back in the nature.
Yes.
That's it. And anything, this is the last part of the interview. Any last thing that you'd like to share to the people, to the public, who's going to listen, and something that you'd like to have recorded as a last message from Sweet Brad Nature Center?
Well, you know, we just want folks to appreciate what's in their backyards, and you don't protect which you don't love. And so, you know, if one person decides they're not going to rake all their leaves and make their lawns perfect one year and in the winter and leave it for some of those hibernating creatures, or, you know, we've done our job. It's a crazy world out there, and nature is free and it's beautiful. And we all need to appreciate what we have.
And you guys, stay. This is your life. You know, this is all you. There's no holiday Janine.
Right.
There's no person, hey, I got a Sunday off. No, there's no, hey, it's 2 a.m. Don't call me. I'm going to switch off my phone. It's not
and
that.
Everything always seems to happen right before I go on a vacation somewhere. It's a big thing.
So
I get calls on my vacations, you know, but that's okay. I love it.
You know, it's just like a soldier. You are playing a part, you know, as a soldier is doing for the country, you're doing for the animals and for the nature and for the wildlife, which already involves the our planet Earth, you know. So it's a whole cycle that you are playing a major role, and this is really great job that you're doing. And
Thank you.
Going to help a lot of people who are looking to be like you. And they know this kind of thing exists, and they feel home there. So it's like not working, but working a lot of hours every single day. And you're doing a great job. Your team is doing a great job. You have a lot of volunteers, and everyone there is. It's like they're putting some part of their life to the wildlife,
right?
And that's where they think that this is the one thing that I can do. And the whole part of this interview was anyone who's looking to be a part of this nature center, they can, they should, and they should be doing this. Anyone who is listening in this movement can make a donation. Almost $1 is possible for you. Can go into it. Every link, everything related to Sweet Briar Nature Center is described properly in the description. You can go check out their website, programs, parts, families, friends, students, school students. Everyone can go and check out whatever is possible and just tap on those links and help the nature also enjoy the experience. So this is the much I can add. I can only speak here at this moment.
Thank you.
Doing the field job there. You know, as we end this interview, you must be getting another animal crying out loud.
I think I got two calls while we were on.
So you must be going back on the field, you know, helping those out. I guess I'm making them cry more for me. It's been too long. But this is my part. Thank you for
Thank
making
you.
this happen. And I'm really grateful that you provided your time, I guess 1 hour max to max, but you were really there and messaged me, hey, I missed this. And I thought, okay, she's interested.
I appreciate
that's
it.
Where, we contacted. And also a big thanks to Princeton.
Big thanks, yes.
Abram, if you're listening, yeah, you are the only reason I got motivated. And I thought, hey, what if I also want to help this thing, and how can I be where I'm sitting in India and she's in this thing, whole thing is in New York City. But this guy's are really doing a great job, and I tried my best, and yeah, it happened. So thank you, Brim. If you're listening, if you're watching this, this happened because of you, and thank you so much. So I guess with this, I end this podcast. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Al. It was great talking to you.